Hello, everyone. This is Larry Reedy, and welcome to my podcast, either for the first time or as a returning listener. Today, our special guest is Alan Stenger. Alan was actually my second guest, and something got messed up as far as the audio. And so this is a return engagement, and everything looks like it's going to go real smooth today. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Alan where he was born, went to school, a few questions. Alan is an entrepreneur with a retail business. He gourmet popcorn, maple syrup, the best jerky I've ever had in my life. He's also a construction manager, and also has a very successful podcast with three other guys, and I've actually been a guest on it for three times, and I'm sure some of you have heard it. But without further ado, Alan, welcome again to my podcast.
I'm glad to be here, quite honestly. It's all good. All good. Just so you know, I lost a podcast, a remote podcast, from Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, no.
So losing one here is not a big deal.
Okay. Well, you know, I've done two remotes now. One will be on Monday, he's from Panama City Beach, Florida, an old neighbor of mine. The other one was from Marshall, Illinois. And the problem there is he lives in a farm and I'm in the country. He had five bars, he said, on his iPhone. I had two on mine, but it came out okay. And the fellow that's coming on this next week, amazing stories, retired master sergeant in the Air Force. His wife was a captain in the Air Force. He has a hero father-in-law that's unbelievable. And he has a 16-year-old son that does more community service in his teen years and preteen years than I think I've ever done in my life. The kid is amazing. So it's going to be very interesting. But anyway, Alan, let's go back where you were born, went to school.
Yeah, so I was born in Indianapolis. I was adopted by my parents here. Grew up in Dearborn County, Indiana. Went to school at East Central High School, home of the Trojans. I currently live in Brookville, Indiana now. I'm on what was my great-grandparents' farm. It's been passed down, and I made stops and lived in the Florida Keys for about 6 years, and then came back here and ended up in Brookville.
What did you do in the Florida Keys?
I had a tour boat business.
Oh, wow. That was fun.
Yeah. It was a good time, but four hurricanes and a divorce later, it was time to come home.
Oh. Well, you know, we had a customer years ago. He lived in the Keys. He lived in Key West. And he would come up here in the summer and stay in the Key West in the winter. His neighbor, unfortunately, he said, was Jimmy Buffett, who did not like going to bed at night, and he loved to drink. So the two of them spent many late hours together, and he said the best thing he ever did, he left Florida for good, he said, because his stomach just couldn't take it.
Yeah, anymore. I would have checked my liver in by now if I was still in the Keys.
Yeah. Okay, so when you came back from the Keys, did you go into construction right away?
Yeah, so I've worked in the construction field all my life. When I left for the Keys, the company I worked for said, when you're done with your midlife crisis, give us a call because there's always a spot for you. So I was done with my midlife crisis, came back to Indiana, and went back to work as a construction manager.
Okay. And you've been there how long now?
That company has since closed. The gentleman retired.
Okay.
So the company I'm with now, I've been with three and a half years.
Okay. And that's, do you do some Kroger work?
I'm doing a Kroger remodel right now in Cleves, Ohio. I do a lot of apartments and assisted living, nursing home work as well.
Okay. And how big is your crew usually?
We subcontract everything out. Our jobs range between a small job will be $3 million, or bigger jobs are in the $30 million range.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not chump change.
Yeah, we don't work out of the back of the pickup truck.
Well, so let's, with the construction, before we get into your products and everything, are you having a problem employing people?
Yes. It's as everybody else is. It's a twofold problem, and it starts in our educational system where teachers and counselors tell everybody they need to go to college. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you, you don't need to go to college. Your skilled trade jobs that pay more than what college degree jobs do. The problem is nobody, people aren't directed towards trade schools at all. I know plenty of kids who are out of college who are still looking for work.
Oh, okay.
And here we are, we're begging for people to work.
So if a young guy graduates from high school, maybe wasn't an A student, has no intention of going to college, if he approached you for a job and he said, I've never even driven a nail.
We'll teach you how to do that.
Yeah. What are you going to pay him to start?
Most jobs, you know, so that's somebody that's not skilled at all that we're going to train. So
nothing.
18, 20 bucks an hour.
For knowing nothing.
Knowing nothing.
Wow.
And so I'm a senior project manager, have been for many years, and I do not have a college degree.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging, but I'm just telling people I'm six figures. Mm-hmm. If you have the drive and determination, there's no reason why you can't do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and instead of getting into your product line, let's talk about your podcast.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, it's Cross the Line 1524. Explain how that got started. And I mean, you're killing it right now. I mean, it's
we're very fortunate. We have a great time doing it. Part of the deal is we're friends on the podcast, off the podcast. Even when we're not recording, we get together to do something.
Right.
It started Reuben Hunt, which is one of the guys on the podcast. One night, this is pre-COVID, we're sitting at a drinking establishment, talking old stories. And he goes, we ought to do a podcast.
Well, now, how long did you know Reuben before
that? I had known Reuben for a couple of years prior to that.
Okay.
So the four gentlemen are myself, Reuben Hunt, Jeff Montag, and Dwayne Bischoff. So Dwayne and I went to school together. We're the 15 side. We're from Dearborn County. So the nomenclature on license plates for a long time in East County, Dearborn was 15 and Franklin was 24. That's where we get to 1524. So Dwayne and I went to high school together. Reuben and Jeff Montag went to high school together. So we all have stories to tell on each other, and it's just turned into a great time.
So when Reuben mentioned that to you, what was your first thought?
My first thought was, who's going to do all this work for the podcast?
And
I knew what the answer was going to be. As you found out, it's one thing to sit around a bar and drink. It's another thing to get the podcast out to promote it and all that. But it's a good time. It's fun. We try to keep it lighthearted and not political, which sometimes we do get a little on the political side. It's hard to keep in at times. We visit a lot of different places. This year, most of our podcast in the summer, we were on location in different places. We traveled to Kansas City. We went down to the Bourbon Country several times. We're able to interview Stephen Beam, who was one of the last remaining Beam distillers, along with a bunch of other guests, which were awesome.
Yeah, well, and Wally Dant.
We made friends with the Dant family 2 years ago, and that has just blossomed to something spectacular.
Well, you know, My kids are threatening me, telling me that I keep spending their inheritance because of every time I go for a tasting, I find something new that I really like as far as bourbon or rye.
Right.
And some of the stuff I've never heard of, I picked up a William Rose bourbon. It's 110 proof. I said, gee, that kind of looks like a Four Roses select bottle, but I'm going to try it. So I had a taste of it. I had that last night, and it is just terrific. Good price, really good. And so when Ruben talked to you about this, about the podcast, when did you get hold of Jeff?
So we were all there together.
Oh, the you four were of all us. There together.
We were all there together.
Well, what was their reaction?
They just kind of looked cross-eyed at us. And then Dwayne, the very next weekend, we came up with the name, and we secured a website and secured Facebook. And we were all ready to go. Then COVID hit.
Oh.
And I actually was one of the unfortunate ones to get it and get it bad. So we didn't start podcasting until mid-May of 2020.
May of 2020. And now you're on, what,
135, episodes. 136 episodes.
Yeah, that's terrific. So when... I know you do a lot from Speakeasy.
We
and,
do.
And in Brookville. And you've been at the Batesville Liquor Store many times, which...
Yeah, when there's barrel picks released, a lot of the times we're fortunate enough to be involved with the barrel picks.
Yeah.
And so we do a podcast in with... You know, if we're lucky enough to have the master distiller there or the brand rep, yeah, and we podcast. So it's been a good time. It's great for both Batesville Liquor and ourselves.
Oh,
great exposure for both of us.
Unbelievable. So if in the near future, and now that we're getting towards the cooler weather, are you going to be going any place for the podcast?
Not so much. In fact, we recorded several episodes last weekend, mm-hmm, at the Speakeasy.
Okay.
And my schedule is a little crazy right now, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So when we do get together, we're going to do a couple episodes at a time. I just said that, but we are going to be podcasting from Metamore, Indiana, the Ghost Tours in Metamore.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Next weekend, actually. Yeah. So... actually, the podcast will probably come out after that, but we're meeting with the folks that do the ghost tours down there, and that should be a fun time.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, you know, the podcast, I've listened to quite a few, quite a few of yours, and I've been listening to Joe Rogan, and which... Pretty crazy. I
mean, oh, yeah.
He's really captivating.
He lets it fly.
Yeah. And several other ones, Ben Shapiro and Mongino. But I honestly think with so many of them out there, that radio, you know, you can be in your car, put Spotify on, put anything on,
yeah,
and pick up Amazon Music or...
Yeah, so there's 2.3 million podcasts out there right now.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so that seems like a big number, and it is, but yeah, there's a lot of them that just do one or two episodes and don't do anything else.
Yeah.
That's kind of the downfall of some of the free podcast hosting sites is people do one or two, and they don't get into it or don't really want to do it, and... So there it sets.
Yeah.
So that 2.3 million probably includes a million that are one or two episodes.
Yeah. Well, Monday will be my eighth one. That's all the recorded and none live so far. And it's a slow process, but I mean, I've got some repeat people, and
right,
I'm getting there. Right. I think the more guests I have on, it's the one problem that I've noticed on podcasts, people say, gee, I really like your podcast. Have you told any of your friends? Well, not yet. And I said, well, how come? And if they're a guest, they say, well, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn. So,
yeah, it's, you know, that's one of the big things. That's how podcasts grow is, you know, somebody telling somebody else, they tell somebody else. And also, you know, you'll hear different podcasts, and we do the same thing, like and subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. That, and some people say, well, that doesn't do anything. Well, it does, because the algorithms, when people go search for a new podcast, are driven by how many likes a podcast has, how many subscribers they have. So the more of those you can accumulate, the better chance you have of your podcast coming up when people are searching for podcasts.
Well, that's what I'm going to try something a little different, because I've been telling everybody the easiest way is to go to my website, larryreedy.net. But I think the smart thing to do is have them go to my Facebook page and tap on it, and it goes right to Podbean.
Goes to your hosting site, yes.
Yeah, and because I have nothing on my website where they can put like or dislike.
Yeah,
the website, or they text me.
Yeah, yeah. It has to be on the hosting site or on a pass-through hosting site like Apple Podcast, Amazon, Spotify. I don't think you can on Spotify. Like that's one of the drawbacks on Spotify is you can't like. You can subscribe, though. But most of the other ones you can like. You can leave a 5-star rating. You can leave a comment.
Yeah, so I think from now on I'm going to try to direct everybody to, instead of my website, that would be an alternative. But most of them are on Facebook.
Right.
And if they go to Larry Reedy's America, and I might even spend a little money advertising on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook actually had a player for a while, a podcast player, but they did away with it. It lasted about 2 months, and they did away with it.
But if you tap on, you know, it automatically, Podbean sends it to Facebook,
right,
to my Facebook
right
page, and you tap on it, it goes right to the Podbean site.
Yep.
So I think I think I'm kind of missed the boat on that.
You're young yet. You're young yet.
Young at heart.
Yeah.
anyway, let's take a little break, and we'll maybe have a drink of water and collect our thoughts for a minute and start talking about other things.
Sounds so good.
We'll be right back. Okay, we're back, and
I can hear myself now.
Okay. That's anyway. Now let's get into the fun stuff. Okay. Alan has a retail establishment which he really makes some good stuff. It's called Sugar Shack, and I mean my favorite jerky. I had a bacon maple popcorn that's unbelievable. And with the holidays coming up, you should really stock up. But I'm going to let Alan explain everything, including the maple syrup, which is kind of unbelievable how much sap you need to make maple syrup. So why don't you go through everything?
So it's Stanger Sugar Shack, and I started the whole thing by making maple syrup. So that's, for folks that don't know, it takes 40 gallons of maple sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. So think about that. So I collect thousands of gallons of sap. I used to do it with buckets, then a bag system, but now I have a vacuum tube system that goes from tree to tree and collects in a tank, and I take it up to my barn and use reverse osmosis to take half the water out and boil the rest down. It's a labor of love.
Wow. How many trees?
I have about 100 that I've got tapped right now.
Whoa.
Well, I don't have them tapped right now, but, that,
but
I will tap
them.
Yes.
So when you tap them, you put the tap in, just hang a bucket on it?
That's what I used to do, but now I use a vacuum tube system. So I have vacuum tube lines that run through my woods, and I put new taps on those every year, drill a hole and tap the tree, and then I have a vacuum pump that then sucks the sap out of the tree and out of the lines.
So it's a quicker process.
Quicker process.
And do all the lines run into like a big...
I have a 300-gallon tank that they run into.
Wow.
Then I transfer it from that tank to another tank and take it up to the barn.
Okay, so once you get the sap, what's the process?
A lot of firewood, a lot of boiling. So I use wood for my boil down. I get the sap. I run it through a reverse osmosis machine. A lot of people have reverse osmosis in their homes to take out impurities in your drinking water. Well, when I use it, that impurity is what I want. That's the sap water. The other part that comes out is pure water. I don't want that. I want the part that's got the sugar content to it. So we're able to cut our boiling times in half by running it through reverse osmosis.
Does the wood give it an extra flavor?
No. So I have a divided evaporator pan. The flames never ever hit the sap. In the old days, they used to kettle boil over an open flame. That was a little bit different. You get some smoky taste out of that.
Yeah.
But what I do now, you know, the flame never hits the sap. So
okay. Now, every once in a while, you'll see something. I haven't paid any attention in years, but it'll say Vermont maple syrup. Is there a difference in trees, or is this a hype thing?
So it says Vermont because that's the state. My bottles say Indiana. Some will say New Hampshire.
Right.
A lot of them, if you look at the fine print, will say product of Canada. The majority of the maple syrup in the world comes from Canada. And hopefully, if there's any Canadian listeners, you guys kind of have the mafia on. I mean, seriously, they control... There's a conglomerate that controls who sells the syrup, how much is it going to be.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. But, you know, Vermont maple syrup, it's made in Vermont. New Hampshire, same way. New York.
But a maple tree is a maple tree.
So there's sugar maple trees, there's red maple trees, there's black maple trees. I was told before I started, the only tree that you can get good sap to make syrup out of is a sugar maple. So do you know how many sugar maples I have? I have absolutely zero.
Really?
All mine are red maples.
So again, old wives' tale.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Then they say, well, you don't get the sugar content's not as high. Well, I'm pretty darn close to what my friends that have sugar maples are. It just depends on the season, on the water source for the trees. And, all of mine is from red maple trees.
Okay. Now, like when we have... bourbon tastings,
yes.
Rye tastings. If you had 10 different maple producers, maple syrup producers.
You would have 10 different flavors.
Honestly.
I mean, it's not, your palate's got to be set up for it. And there's also different grades, and the grades are colors. So the first part of the season, it's a real light syrup. By the time you're at the end of the season, it's a dark, robust syrup, which has got more of a punch to it.
Okay.
Where the light syrup, you still got the maple taste, but it's a little bit lighter.
But there is a difference.
There is a difference.
I'll be darned. So have you tasted other syrup compared to yours?
I have.
And what do you?
It all tastes good.
Well,
it's not like bourbon where you could get a bad bourbon.
Well, you just get the bourbon and it's not as good as others.
There you go.
Okay, so, and out of the 100 trees a year, and with all the modernization, how many bottles can you actually produce?
So, and I kind of lose track. That's one of my bad things. I got so many things going on. I figure it by gallons. Some years I'll have 60 gallons of syrup. Some years I'll have 50. We had a real short season. Several years ago, it was just a two-week season due to the weather, and only did like 30 gallons. That was it. The way that maple syrup sap, the way the maple sap flows is when it freezes at night, the tree pulls that sap up through the ground, up into the limbs.
Oh, my.
What that does is help protect the tree from freezing. Then when the sun comes out during the day and heats those limbs up, it pushes the sap out, and that's when you collect it.
Okay. So I guess you have 12 or 16-ounce bottles? Is that?
I do 8 and 12-ounce
bottles. 8 and 12-ounce bottles. So, I mean, basically, I'll keep you out of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Many nights. Before I had reverse osmosis, I was boiling every night till about midnight during the season. The season starts end of January, 1st of February, hopefully, and it goes to about the second week of March in our area.
So how long have the maple tree growers had like the equipment that you have? Is this something within the last 10 years?
Yeah, last decade.
Because the reason I say that, one of my neighbors has a big dairy farm, and he stopped by the other day, was him down the road, and we talked 20 or 25 minutes, and he's 85 now, and he's still out on the combine, the tractor. It's kind of a family thing.
Right.
And I said, well, I know you have to milk twice a day, but he said it's more expensive but easier now. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I'm talking to you. 60 cows are being milked by robots. That about floored me. I couldn't believe that you have – they used to bring them in, set them all up, and hit milkers.
Right.
But now it's a totally different
thing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into – Not, let's leave the popcorn for last. Let's talk about jerky.
Okay. So every year in March, in conjunction with the Indiana maple syrup producers, I have an open house at our farm for maple syrup. And after the first year, I'm like, I need more than just maple syrup. And my wife makes maple candy and maple nut goodies. I said, I need something else. And I thought, well, you know, I've got this black pepper recipe for jerky. What if I added maple syrup to it? So I did that. And I sold out of that right away. And I'm like, I think there's a market here for beef jerky. Hence, Stanger Sugar Shack. So my first flavor was maple pepper. We expanded from there. We've got, I believe, 8 flavors now. And that business took off. It was pretty surprising to me. And we were able to get in some retail stores. We're in all the Yeoman Home Center stores. And several other locations and online. And it keeps me – we're also at Batesville Liquor Co. and Tabby Liquors.
How well I know.
I know that.
And the – you know, I had your uncured bacon maple bourbon jerky that's – I mean, it's just –
It's like candy.
Oh, you can't stop. That's the problem. You just can't stop. Although I did take a break. And then I got into your popcorn.
There you go.
So, okay, the gourmet popcorn. Something new.
Yeah, this is something new. In fact, I got it just in time for the tractor show in September, the Franklin County Intake Machinery Show. So I'd been thinking for a long time I needed to add another product line. And I thought something that's fun and people enjoy is popcorn. So I have 10 flavors of gourmet popcorn. I have coated corns like caramel. The bacon bourbon caramel. We have seasonal flavors. Right now we've got the Monster Mix out and Witch's Brew.
Wait, what's the Monster Mix?
It is, I got to think here, blackberry and orange flavored.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's very good. It's very good.
And the Witch's Brew is?
Witch's Brew is, I can't think. I should have brought the mic. Okay. Ingredients. I can't think of everything.
Yeah.
But it just took off. Caramel corn is by far our biggest seller, just regular caramel. And then the bacon.
Oh, regular caramel.
Yeah. And then the bacon bourbon is going like crazy, too.
Oh,
so
that's. that's.
But we have cheese-flavored corns, too, white cheddar, regular cheddar. Everything bagel is one of our flavors, which is very good. If you like garlic, you need to try our everything bagel flavor.
So, now again, the popcorn. Does he have gigantic kettles or?
So I'm going to give you some of my secrets. So I've got a popcorn maker. Right now, most of my popcorn, I have somebody else take care of the coatings on.
Oh, okay.
My recipes.
And they do it.
And they take care of the coating because I don't have a facility to do that.
Okay,
That kind of leads into our next thing, a retail store that we're getting ready to open.
Okay, now tell us about that.
So we're getting ready to open a place in Metamore, Indiana. It's going to be a general store / gift shop, and we're going to be doing the popcorn there as well. It's going to be called the Sap Bucket. It'll open the first day of Christmas Walk. In fact, I just came from there. We're doing a demo in there right now and start build back tomorrow or Saturday. A lot of work to get the place ready. The place had been abandoned for a long time, and it's right on Main Street. So when you come for the Christmas Walk, just come down Main Street, you'll see the sign. It'll say Stanger Sugar Shack and the Sap Bucket.
And the Sap Bucket, okay. So, and I know you mentioned, like, in Indianapolis, you have KOA campgrounds.
Right. So we're in Indianapolis at the KOA. Gilman's has, I think they're up to 15 or 16 locations in Indiana and Ohio. I'm also in St. Leon at the Easy Stop Fuel Mart there.
So, well, that's a big stop.
Yeah. So, and it's, and like I said, we're at Tebby's and Batesville Liquor Co. And we're also online. So you can go to StangerSugarShack.com. We got our stuff up there, and I ship it.
Okay, minimum order?
No
minimum order.
And I also have a customer all the way down in Key West, Florida.
Really?
Yeah, so it's Fish Monster Charters of Key West. They have several charter boats, and then they have a real big boat called the Fish Monster Max, and they order jerky for me, and I send it down to them.
That's just great. That's terrific. So what's the up-and-coming holidays? Do you get a big online presence?
I'm hoping, here's the deal. So we're opening our store. So I'm hoping not so much online because my butt's going to be down at the store.
Yes.
Busy there. I'm probably going to fulfill online orders from the store. My
that
goal is
sense.
To move everything there. So it's not at the house and it'll all be at the store.
And when do you run out of your maple syrup?
I have several cases left. Just normally I would run out about now, but I had enough this year.
So you had a good good harvest.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, because a lot of listeners on this podcast are, they're Indiana, Illinois, California, Florida.
That's funny you say California. We have a lot of California listeners too.
It's, shocking.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And a Macedonian one.
We've got, we're in 35 countries or 36 countries now. I haven't looked lately, but it's amazing. Every week I'll look, I'm like, do they even understand what we're saying?
Yeah. But you know what? With the crap that's on television.
Right.
You have to get tired of it.
Right.
You know, and Hollywood's trying to shove stuff down your throat that's not my cup of tea.
Right.
And it's really refreshing, especially if you're in a car. Don't get me wrong. I love listening to 50 music, but after a while, you just need to.
Yeah. So, in conjunction with that, I started an internet-based radio station, Hometown Radio USA. And we do all independent music, 100% independent. And it's amazing how many countries that's in now as well.
Really? Yes. Now, how do you do that one?
Well, I have a hosting site, sort of like a podcast, only set up for radio. I have a couple thousand independent songs that I went out and through Facebook, of all places, asked independent musicians if they had music, if they'd like to have it played, and have it on there.
That's pretty neat because, I've only got a few recordings on this podcaster, but what I opted to do instead of paying somebody a yearly fee, I bought a few forever for I think $32, and I had to pay for America the Beautiful, Star Spangled Banner, and three other ones, and it's kind of nice because you can keep things going, take a little break, and not have dead space.
Exactly.
Because, as I'm not doing any editing.
The guys on my podcast sometimes wish I would do more editing. When we first started, I edited it all over the place, and now I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Most of the time. Sometimes we got to edit.
Well, you know, the reason that I don't want to start that is we have with a large family, we have a lot going on, and I average probably 2 hours a day talking to kids. You know, just
right.
They got questions, and then talking to people to come on for a podcast. Trying to get everyone who's contributing something to society, their community, or they're doing something unusual
right.
that people should know about. And anyway, we talked before we went on the air, maybe having a dual podcast.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That this winter when there's
snow,
we're all hunkered down, and we'll be in a speakeasy. You can be at your place, and we can be sharing bourbon. Well, you know, 30 miles away.
Yeah. We have bourbon taste for remote. Or I imagine from what the Farmer's Almanac says, this is going to be a bad year.
Yeah, yeah. So fortunately, you know, Mike from Batesville Liquor has been on our podcast quite a bit. He's an unofficial member, I guess. So we usually get some good samplings when we're at Speakeasy as well.
Well, you know, it's like I told him, and I told Terry the same thing. I said, you know, the one nice thing about a liquor store, when the economy's good, everybody drinks well.
Right.
When the economy's bad, everybody drinks. They just don't drink as well.
They don't drink the top shelf. Yeah, they drink the bottom shelf.
Yeah, it's amazing what that should be a destination point, really.
Right.
It's I've never seen anything in a small town like that liquor store.
Yeah, that's even Wally Dant, who's seen a lot of liquor stores. He was wowed by the
did
way
he
it's
said,
laid out.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah.
he commented on that.
He was like, "This is amazing how much product you have."
Well, if he would have went in the back room, he would have really got shocked.
Yeah,
because some of that's the ceiling, and I'm just thinking, where are you going to put it? And they were so worried about. You know, not having or having too much space.
Right.
You know, down there.
Not the case.
They need shelf stretchers or sky
right.
hooks.
Sky hooks.
So, let's talk again about the holidays. Your website, your address for the Sugar Shack or the up and coming one in Metamora, and, is there going to be any type of a promo that you're going to advertise or where people can find out as we get closer to the holidays?
Yeah, so we're right on Main Street, and I should have brought the address in here. It's new enough I can't remember the exact address. I think it's 19054 Main Street. It's right next to where the train unloads and loads, and it's right next to a place called the Train Place. We'll be doing tons of promotion and advertising for it before we open. We'll probably start that here in the next week or so, actually, just to get the hype going. And then we'll open the first day of the Christmas walk and be open all during the Christmas walk. And we're just not a Sugar Shack store. We have gifts, candles. It's a candy shop as well, so it's like an old-time candy store. You can go in. There's baskets of candy, vault candy. We'll have hot pretzels, and not for the Christmas walk, but, you know, next year we'll have a hot dog roller and hot dogs and things like that as well. It's one of the things, you know, we spent quite a bit of time in town this year during the Columbia Street Music District, and there was just a few things that I saw a lot of people were looking for something quick to eat and not have to sit down. So this case gave us an opportunity to do that without doing a full commercial kitchen. It's all ready to eat stuff, you know, your pretzels, the hot dog, stuff like that. We're going to do Otis Spunkmeyer cookies, which is a big cookie manufacturer. So we're excited.
That's not, well, you know, and this is probably before your time, but back in the 50s.
That definitely, just so you know, Larry, is definitely before my time.
Well, in Cincinnati, you go downtown Cincinnati, and there must have been 7 or 8, they called them orange bars. And you could go in, get an orange drink, a grape drink, or a couple other citrusy type drinks. And they had this hot dog and brat thing. It just was a roller, kept them right all the time. Those places that people in town would just go in, they grab a hot dog or two hot dogs, drink. They're in and out in 10 minutes. No seating, stand-up rails. I think they started in the 40s, and by early 60s, real estate was so expensive, and they basically, when the lease ran out, the property owners said, so, we can't use right you anymore. Right. Your rent's too cheap. But I can remember being downtown, and it was just some place to grab a quick bite.
Right.
And that's a hot dogs are never going to go out of style.
Never.
So, or you're, and I presume when you say a hot dog, it's like a roaster, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a roller, so they roll and cook on there. We'll do brats, mets, hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, hot met. Oh, man.
It doesn't get any better.
Yeah, hot met and sauerkraut. Oh. So, and then the with your radio show.
Yes.
Now, how are you broadcasting that the same?
So it is. We have an app for it. It's both on the Google Play Store and Apple apps. It's called Hometown Radio USA. You can download that and then just click on it and it plays. We also have a website, hometownradiousa.com. You can go there and click on the player. We have a Facebook page, so you can look us up on Facebook, Hometown Radio USA.
Okay, so basically you're doing the same thing as a podcast.
Only it's 24/7.
Really?
Yeah. And you might ask, how can that be? Because I'm here right now.
No,
A lot of radio stations out there, especially the syndicated ones, are pre-recorded. So right now I'm not doing any type of morning show or anything like that. I may do that. When we first started, we did, and we would pre-record those. I just don't have time right now. Yeah. So it's mainly music. We do play a couple podcasts on there. In fact, I'll probably link your podcast on there.
Oh, that'd be great.
There's a couple other podcasts that we play on there just to give people something to listen to.
That's neat. Well, you know, the thing is with the old-time radio, my wife and I, when we used to go to Florida every year, long drive, we would listen to like Boston Blackie, you know, the old time radio shows. And there's a lot of them out there, all these old Sherlock Holmes shows and everything.
Right. You know, one of the things, I'm a musician, so I wanted to get independent musicians a voice out there so people could hear the music. There's a lot of great, great independent music out there that nobody gets to hear.
Yeah. You know, the next crazy thing I'm thinking about, I'm going to be 84, and the next dumb, crazy thing I'm thinking about doing is if I can get ahead enough on the podcast, I'm thinking about taking guitar lessons. Never played a
musical. It's never too late to learn.
Yeah, but never played a musical instrument in my life. Don't.
You must have the world's biggest bucket list is what I'm thinking.
I know. It's either going to be that or fly a drone. And I think I'd be safer taking guitar lessons.
Yeah, the drone may hit the ground. You never know. You never know. You might be a great drone pilot.
Well, did you listen to Walt Anakin?
Yes.
Well, I forgot to mention this on the podcast, you know, when he's the drone guy with taking the videos and such. Well, he sent me a video. He said, I got this in case I had to get some place to take photos in a hurry. He's got a drone that does 60 miles an hour.
Wow.
And he took a video of this thing. It hit a tree, broke a branch off of a tree, went straight down the ground. Didn't do a lick of damage to it. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, But 60 miles an hour on a drone?
Yeah.
I mean, you
know, that's flying.
Yeah, 20 is fast enough for me. So, anyway, have we got anything else to talk about? Or
I don't think so. Just thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to it. And
we'll throw our podcast out there again. It's Cross the Line 1524.
Absolutely.
We have a webpage, crosstheline1524.com, and we're on all the podcast apps and players. Just look for Cross the Line 1524.
Okay, well, with that, I think we're going to wrap things up. And just remember, faith, family, country, friends, everything else is background music. God bless America. God bless you. I'll talk to you on the next podcast.